Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man. Come on. 100 mountains running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian heavy metal carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. That's in the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Get you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man.
Tuesday night, And you know what time it is. It's 10:06. It is Sound Off Forums, where you can say what you want and get your voice heard anyway. So I'd like to thank everybody for being out there. I'm going to go ahead and play this clip real quick.
Anybody seen the movie Express? All right, the movie is about the first black Heisman Trophy winner. All right? So we want to be clear that I'm going to tie this into Barack Obama. Just pay attention. This is how they do their magic. All right? Now, Express can also be Express. Express. Same thing, all depending on how you break the word up and how you understand how to use words. All right? Now, the movie came out on 10/10. That could be a reference to time because all the watch ads say 10/10, right? So the movie came out on October 10th. So that was giving me a clue that this was a reference to some form of time. All right? So I went from Express to Express, and the Express I'm talking about is right there, JFK. Now, he won the Heisman Trophy the same year JFK was elected. All right? This kid, Ernie Davis, the Ernie Davis story. We're going to tie this into Barack Obama because they've been calling Barack Obama, you know, JFK, talking about he's tapping into his energy and things, the Messiah and things of that nature. So let's look at a few things because somebody sent me something interesting. It said, here's some more interesting facts. Notice that when they show Ernie Davis' trailer, the movie, they make a point to show Elmira across his chest. Well, I thought that would look, I would look up Elmira and see how it fit into this. Notice that one of the central points in Elmira is the following paragraph, barracks, number 3. So if you look at Elmira on the commercial for the Express, it says barracks, which could be Barack. All right? Also the year 1864 and 1865 is the so-called year of the Emancipation Proclamation. Remember, Barack Obama decided to make his announcement in Springfield, Illinois, home of Abraham Lincoln, who is responsible for the Emancipation Proclamation. All right? Then it goes in to say, let me get down here. Let me just get to the next piece. I want to show you something real interesting. All right, the Negro vote counts. That's what it also says on the movie trailer. Negro vote count. Are they talking about now or are they talking about then? All right, the upcoming movie, Ernie Davis. Ironically, Ernie Davis was the first black man, African-American, to win the Heisman Trophy. He also wore the number 44. If Barack wins the presidential election, he will become the 44th president of the United States of America. In the movie, you see President John F. Kennedy, whom many are comparing to Barack Obama, greeting Ernie Davis. He wrote a complimentary letter to Ernie Davis soon after he won the Heisman. Ironically, Ernie Davis won the award in 1961 and subsequently died in 1963. John F. Kennedy became the president in 1961 and subsequently died in 1963. Barack Obama was born in the same year, 1961. Barack Obama assumed office as a U.S. senator in 2005, exactly 44 years after President Kennedy assumed the presidency of the United States. Barack Obama announced his candidacy for presidency exactly 44 years after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Could be a coincidence, maybe not. All right, so understand how that ties in. The first black to win the Heisman Trophy, wearing the number 44. Barack Obama could be the first president. He would be the 44th president. So the numbers line up. All right, this is how they work their magic. First black man to do this, first black man. But also remember, it was another link between Lincoln and John F., which was kind of weird. Abraham Lincoln was elected to Congress in 1846. John F. Kennedy was elected to Congress in 1946. Abraham Lincoln was elected to the president in 1860. John F. Kennedy was elected in 1960. The name Lincoln and Kennedy each contained seven letters. Both were particularly concerned with civil rights. Both wives lost their children while living in the White House. Both presidents were shot on a Friday. Both presidents were shot in the head. Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy. Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln. Both were assassinated by Southerners. Both were succeeded by Southerners named Johnson. Andrew Johnson, who succeeded Lincoln, was born in 1808. Lyndon Johnson, who succeeded Kennedy, was born in 1908. John Wilkes Booth, who assassinated Lincoln, was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald, who assassinated Kennedy, was born in 1939. Both assassinations were known, assassins were known by three names. Both names are composed of 15 letters. Lincoln was shot at a theater named Ford. Kennedy was shot in a car called Lincoln. Both ran, check this out, both ran from the theater and was caught, Booth ran from the theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse and was caught in a theater. Booth and Oswald were assassinated before their trials. And here is the kicker. A week before Lincoln was shot, he was in Monroe, Maryland. A week before Kennedy was shot, he was basically in Marilyn Monroe. We all have the ability to draw what we want in our lives, but what somebody else has done has tapped into your own ability to think, and they're drawing to you what they want to draw to you. This is why everybody is selling everything. Everything is for sale. Memphis Bleek was in a damn shampoo commercial recently. Y'all ready? Okay. The presidential election, Senator Obama versus Senator McCain, Tuesday, November 4th, Saturn is in opposition to Uranus. I'm going to say that again. The planet Saturn, because we're going to take it up, and then I'm going to bring it down for you. All right? As above, so below. So Saturn is in opposition to Uranus. That means that here's an interesting tidbit of astrology. Saturn and Uranus are going to be in exact opposition on November 4th for the first five passes, heralding revolutionary and social and economic change. Revolutionary and economic change. What's the key word in the Obama campaign? Change. They keep pushing change. Change. See, these are trigger words. They knew that this was going to line up on November 4th before it even happened. So deep down in your subconscious, they're giving you the term change so that you can always remember change. Why? Because the planets have already said that there's going to be a revolutionary social economic change. Interesting enough, this is the same astrological vibration that is created for the political climate of the mid-60s. It's interesting times in which we live. Uranus and Saturn don't get to hang out with each other very much. And we're grateful for that. But when they are in opposition with each other, you have the old guard digging in tradition and clinging to fearful and worn-out ways of the past. That's McCain. He don't want to change. He's got his old military ways. You know what I'm saying? While the younger generation emphatically insists on revolutionary change. All right? That's Obama. All right? Coming and saying, move your ass out the way, your old ass out the way. It's time for change. Astrologers are saying that those born in the mid-60s were born under this configuration and have been waiting for a reason to stand up and activate this force. Activate. It's the key word. Because when there's a trigger, something needs to activate it. All right, so they're telling you right here, activate this force within. And they say it's practically ordained Obama's win because McCain would not be changed. You know what I'm saying? He still represents that old way. All right? So here it is. Change we can believe in. So they lining this up. And remember, they don't do nothing without conferring with their astrologists, numerologists, and occult science. Every move they make is done based on the heavens, because they know that everything is synchronized and linked up. Every single color has a vibration to it. And why they use colors, when they use black and red together, that's the color of the Illuminati. So whenever you see black, anybody see the movie V for Vendetta? That's why when you saw him in the background, he had the black and the red cross and the double cross and all that there. They use these colors purposely.
All right, everybody. I just wanted to break the ice with that. That gentleman that was speaking, his name is, he goes by the name Black Dot. Black Dot. You want to go ahead and look that up, the Black Dot. Very interesting thing. So I'm going to go ahead and do my my stuff that we usually do to kick off the show. You can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can find me at Twitter at hashtag soundoff947413. You can call in tonight at 347-989-1014. You can also go to the website. Sound Off Forums is now officially open. You can go and check it out. It's Sound Off Forums. That's SOUDOFFFORUMS.com.net.info. However you want to put it in the web browser, you can find it. Some very interesting things that I'm putting on this stuff. The stuff that I talk about on my show, you can find it. That is an outlet for everyone to find it. And so, as we do about this time, we always do Ephesians 6. That's how we do things around here. So we're going to do Ephesians 6, 6 through 13, and we're going to kick it up a notch, like I always like to do, using the King James Version. And it goes like this. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, fallen dark angels, against powers, against powerful dark angels, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the rulers of dark fallen angels of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual wicked fallen dark angels in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all to do to stand. And let the church say, amen. So you know how we like to do it. We like to kick it and do different things and all that kind of stuff. Listen, the realization is this: tonight, I'm going to play a couple more clips, and then at the other half of the hour, I will tell you what's on my mind, and then we can get the callers to call in.
Get the notion that hip hop. When did hip hop start? Can anybody tell me? Anybody? Okay. Now, that's not a wrong answer, but it's not exactly correct. What I mean by that is the four basic elements of hip hop: the drum, dancing, graffiti, and the MC. We've been doing that since the beginning of time. It was just called hieroglyphs, sacred dancing, the oracle speaking, and the sacred drum. Okay, so these are ways that we use to communicate. Not necessarily non-verbally, but these are some of the ancient things that we've always done and always used to communicate. When a new baby was born in the village, we played the drum. We conveyed messages using a simple drum. And check this out. On the slave plantation, they banned the drum. Why? Because we was beating that drum and the slave master's head getting cut off. All right? Simply using the drum. All right? So we understand that hieroglyphs or pictures are worth 1,000 words. So therefore, when you see a certain kind of glyph being posted, based on your perception of that glyph, there will be 100, 200, 300 interpretations of the glyph. And if you've seen some graffiti, like in the 70s on the tenement buildings, I don't know, I still to this day can't decipher half of those images. But these brothers and sisters were digging spray paint cans, and they was putting these images up that they had in their mind. Because art is a gateway in which we make the unseen seen and the unheard heard. That's why it's very important that each and every one of us in here possess some form of those four elements. Either you like to sing, you love to dance, you like to draw or speak and use your verbal sounds to heal people, things of that nature. Music for mere entertainment for us was always near the lower realms of the spectrum. We use music to heal, to inform us. Music is, you can use music to time travel. I can play a song right now, we can all flash back to where we was in that day and time when that song comes on. So it becomes something we use as time markers as well. Hip-hop became unique because we began sampling people who were no longer here. So we were using hip-hop as sort of like a time travel warp machine to bring the energy of those who passed on into the future. So when you heard a Public Enemy song and it had Malcolm X's voice on it, it began to introduce Malcolm X to an entire new generation. Alright, this is why Public Enemy, the group, was dangerous. First of all, it was the greatest group that hip hop had ever seen. I dare anyone to challenge me on that. When Public Enemy came on the scene, their energy, the message, the image, everything they were doing, the sound, something was
drugs and alcohol, which are making them think and do something totally different.
So, back in the early 70s, when they began to shut down some of the music classes in the Bronx, I'm speaking of the Bronx because that's where this new emergence of hip-hop began to resurface. I don't think there's any debate about that. So, by depriving us of something, created something else. All right? So a lot of times you can put pressure bus pipes or pressure creep the diner. So they started banning all of the music classes. So once they began to ban these classes and took away the drum, we got creative. We got two turntables and a mixer and began to suspend the drum sound. It might be 4 seconds of a particular record and put two of them on and keep that breakbeat suspended for long periods of time, and that began to create or recreate the drum in hip-hop. All right? They shut down the art classes, no problem. We got spray paint cans.
That's right.
We was putting the images up on trains, and trains traveled through all five boroughs.
Mm.
So it began to awaken brothers and sisters in all five boroughs with them images. All right? You might not be able to verbally manifest, but them colors are vibration. Different colors mean different things. So those colors and those glyphs began to awaken something deep within a lot of people, and the movement began. They shut down all the dance classes, no problem. We got the cardboard. We got the cardboard out. We got biscuits. All right? Because these are things that we do naturally. We naturally dance. Slave masters were beating us, and we were dancing and singing. And they couldn't understand it because this is what we do. You see what I'm saying? So if it's something that you do naturally, you're going to find another way to make it manifest. All right? So we love to dance, celebrate it in our culture. It makes us feel good. It takes our minds or perhaps the hard times we're going through, and it allows us to reach a higher plane. All right? So the Oracle, as we know, became the MC. All right? So our ancient traditions would pass down the Oracle from mouth to ear, and it would usually be the elder in the community who retained most of the history in that particular community or village and passed those stories and myths down from people to people. And it just became the MC. He just decided to do it in the cycle on the corner and again create these amazing stories that didn't exist. But that was our way of passing on this legend. So those are the four basic elements of hip-hop. And it came about simply because of them depriving us of an opportunity to have an open outlet. So it's very important that if you see your child scribbling on paper, that you allow your child to scribble on paper. If you have somebody that loves to sing, sing, get it out. You know what I mean? Because when we shut that down, we began to make ourselves sick. Because if God doesn't create, God dies. But if God was in you, we must create. This is why we're here. My moms and pops created me, and so forth and so on. This is how we go on and on and on. Alright? So water has to flow, and water stays fresh. And water travels miles and miles and miles around the country. It may distill, become steam. It may travel somewhere else, and a rain cloud falls somewhere else. It's still on the planet again, but it must move. If water is in a pond and it has no movement, that water becomes contaminated. And we're going to talk about that because at one point, hip-hop itself was like a flowing river. But once the music industry got hold of it, they sort of put it in a box. And now it's a little stagnant. It doesn't have the same energy, so to speak. All right? So one of the most important aspects of hip-hop is that it began to break down racial barriers. White kids, black kids, everybody loved this hip-hop. So it began, hip-hop did more for racial relationships, I'm sorry to say, than any other pioneer or political leader in the history.
That's right.
Bottom line, you know what I mean? Hip-hop, because it was the language, it was something we all understood, and it was the way we was able to communicate, because if you loved hip-hop, we loved you. Bottom line, if you came in the language of hip-hop, And you can blow, you know what I'm saying? We gave it up to you. So that was another thing that's very important because now hip-hop is international. All right, it's all over the world. So anything, again, that's all over the world like that, do not believe it's not, you know, corrupted to some degree. I'm not saying you can't find good hip-hop, you know, but if you on the radio, they don't play the same nine songs all day. Turn on the radio, go shopping, and get it the same song that we play when you come back. How's that possible? Alright, but they began to dictate to you what's hot. Instead of you being the artist and you being the one saying, no, that ain't hot. I'm going to show you what's hot. When you got a whole bunch of brothers wearing their pants off their ass, that's not a trend. That's by design.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The first brother did it, okay, fine. But when all brothers are starting to do it, and then I just want to point this out. Do you know that there's been an increase of young brothers going to the hospital for hip surgery? So in the I Ching, you know, dealing with that, that's heaven. That's the symbol for heaven. So he's got the three red lines. Red is the color of activation. Red is the color of war. Red is the color of blood. That's why Mars is a red planet. More red cars get stopped by the police than any other car. That's a fact. They see that red, they get crazy. Okay? Because it's an active color, it's an activation color, and it excites you. That's why McDonald's is that red. Kids can see that shit from 9 blocks away. You don't even see that red. Hey, over there. You see that red, right? And he's got the three symbols over all the music symbols. You know what I'm saying? So if this is the symbol for heaven, if he's sort of saying that through the music is how we get to heaven. You know what I'm saying? You got to be very careful because in certain cultures, in Christianity, they say Satan was, Lucifer was the, he was in charge of music. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Remember, there's no one meaning to any of this. I don't want you to think there's one meaning. There are multiple layers and multiple layers. See, the language of the Masons is they don't use words. If they use words, we can figure out what the hell is happening. So they're using symbols and they use images that if you in the know, you know. If you're not in the know, you just don't know. Alright, so his album came out on 9/11. His first album, the first blueprint came out on 9/11. He sold 1 million copies that week. Think of the psychosis of that. The world is coming to an end, and I need the Jay-Z album. Yo, get the water, get the guns, get the Jay-Z album. Think of the psychosis of our people. That was the most tragic event ever to happen in this country. And that week, his song dropped on that day. Remember, 11 is the fourth. Whenever you see the number 11, there's a void in between both ones. There's a void, and it opens up a portal. That's why 11 is a magical number. If you're dealing with numerology, you don't break down the number 11, 22, those double numbers. They're very important. Dealing with numerology. So for those who are dealing in that, it opens up a portal. He dropped his album on 9/11. And sold 1 million copies. That's when I knew that this dude was dangerous. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be dealing with life crisis saving situations, and 1 million people lined up for the Jay-Z album. Man, it's taking so long. When they should be getting water, batteries, flashlights, and preparing for what's coming next, then we got the Jay-Z album. Now, he drops the next Jay-Z album. He dropped this one, Blueprint 3, on the same day. He moved it up a day or two, but the promotion was for 9/11. You see what I'm saying? So what is going on with that? These numbers don't lie. These guys always do things based on, and Pluto went direct too, so it's a lot, that's a whole other, you know, lecture and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is that was exactly 8 years apart to the day. You know what I mean? So now the porthole opened on 9/11/2001, the porthole was closed September 11th, 2009. All right, so once in the porthole opens, the next end, it closes. And he drops, what was the first single of that album? DOA, Dead on Arrival. He came with Death of Auto-Tune, I think it was Dead on Arrival. Now, on 11/9, KRS-One is dropping the gospel. Anybody heard about this? KRS-One has, not the album, the book. He's got a big 600-page book coming out called The Gospel of Hip-Hop, and it's going to be dealing with metaphysics, a spiritual breakdown, sort of what I'm speaking here in reference to how we can use something that's readily available to us to help us reach the next plateau. So again, that's the reverse of 9/11, 11/9. So we are trying to counter a lot of things that's going on in the spirit, on the physical realm, in terms of what Jay-Z is doing, because Jay-Z has his mandate of it. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's on his grind. You know what I mean? It's important that we counter as much as we can with information and being aware. The one thing nobody wants you to do is be aware. Because once you become aware, it activates something in you to have to do something. All right? We used to have a saying, you're only accountable for what you know. If you don't know, you can't really be too much. But once you know something and you still are not acting upon it, then you begin to reap the benefit of the consequences of that. All right? So be very careful of, you know, get into this information and any kind of information you deal with if you're not ready to address it.
All right, everybody. I wanted to play that because, you know, I got some things to get off my chest. This is the hour, the segment. You can call in if you choose to call in. The number is area code 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. I'm telling you, it has been on my mind the last couple of days about certain things, and I'm gonna sound off about it. I know I've been trying to get people interested in different things. I've been having different guests, and you know, of course, things in life happen, and so I've got to be flexible. That's what I learned in the military. This is what bothers me. We've got a lot of people in our society who talks a lot of a good game. We've got politicians who fight every day across the aisle from one another. They're on committees, and they're saying that we don't want a big government, we don't need a big government. Some people say we need government intervention. Whatever side you're on, it doesn't really matter. What matters is there's millions of people who are homeless. There are millions of people who don't eat 3 square meals a day. There are millions of children who don't get proper education. And regardless if you think that's true or not, you need to get out of your white ivory tower, your black ivory tower, your yellow ivory tower, whatever ivory tower you're in, and actually put your feet or your boots on the ground. Go to these schools and check them out yourself. Talk to the students. This is what was disturbing to me, and I could talk about it because it was in the newspaper and it's public knowledge. I found out there was this girl, this little baby, she's 15 years old. She hung herself because of her life and school. Now, there's different things that's floating around about why she did it. I don't know. I only got secondhand information, and I don't like talking about secondhand information unless I know the facts themselves. But the fact remains is this: the child is dead because she hung herself. What are we doing as adults to make these babies feel like they don't matter? Now, in my own situation, I clearly understand that. And so we as adults need to find a way. I mean, because we know that sometimes our kids don't listen to the parents. And we want our household to be structured by the Bible. Like in Joshua, he says, I don't know what you do, but in my household, we shall serve the Lord. And that's what I believe. But what are we doing to help these babies? Because sometimes these babies are not only let down by the parents, but they're also let down by the people who we feel should be there for them, and that would be the teachers. And I'm not asking for the teachers to step in and be second mothers, but they're people that kids gravitate towards. And they say, you know what, you're like my mother, you're like my father, you're like my grandpa. We need to take those instances and we need to create a haven for these children so they can understand what love is. It gets to the core of me that we can't do something for these babies. They don't know what the world's about. They may think it is, but they don't. And when they have nowhere to go, who would they turn to? They're not going to turn to the Lord. We would like them to turn to the Lord. But who are they turning to? They're turning to the people that they see themselves as. And if they're gangsters or drug dealers or whomever, they feel at least they're getting love from somewhere. So what are we doing as parents? Not just to our children. What are we doing as parents? If we're adults, we're parents. We've got words of wisdom regardless of if we have children or not. What are we doing? I want somebody to call in and help me out with this scenario because it's burning me inside, and I shouldn't be burned inside because Jesus said it would be like that. So I need to pray more. I know that. But I need somebody to help me try to understand this because these babies, they fall into the wayside, and I don't want them to fall to the wayside like we did because it's a perpetual situation over and over and over and over again. Second thing I want to talk about. That's been bugging me, that I need to sign off about, is, once again, us adults who claim to have morals, who claim to have all this knowledge and all this education and all this stuff, okay? We're so busy chasing that dollar. We're so busy doing other things that we miss the point of what God asks us to do. He asks us to be charitable. He asks us to show love. He wants us to do something for others that we don't necessarily want to do. We, you know, when I read Ephesians, it says do from the heart, not for man service or for accolades or any of that stuff. I think that we need to find ourselves in a position where we need to get those who find themselves in the positions to be able to give, but they're stubborn to give. Not because we tell them to give, because that's the right thing to do. You see, the right thing to do is not always the easiest thing to do. It's really the hardest thing to do. But we've got, I mean, if you look at that, there's so many things we can give to. And people, we spend, as a nation, almost close to $1 trillion in donating, and we all donate to a good cause and things like that, which is awesome because that's what I'm asking for. But I'm also asking not the people, but businesses. I'm not talking about mom and pop shops because they're gonna do that. I'm talking about banks, okay? First of all, the banks are the biggest sharks out there to begin with, and they will deny you quicker than anything for a loan or whatnot unless your credit is good. And since when have we based who we are off of credit? Credit is an evil. And the reason why I say it's evil, I mean, a lot of you people know this nowadays, that when you're going to apply for a job, you're going to get checked out by the job, and the job's going to run your credit. And if your credit messed up, then more than likely they won't hire you. And then my question to that is if you don't have a job to catch up your bills, if you don't have a good job to tell the people the bill owners that you will be getting a job, if they can just hold on, that you would pay them, how can you ever get back on your feet? You see, Congress passed that bill about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and it just didn't really make sense to me. How can your credit score affect who you are as a person? Because we know we're all going through a recession and people are using their credit cards to keep them afloat. We know that people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, but they do it anyway. And so the consequences is they're holding on until they find that breaking dawn, the end of the tunnel. And will it ever come? So, once again, where are we as a people? Is it necessary for us to go to, because this is really, to me, is really important. Is it necessary for us to go to school for 4 years, get a four-year degree, get our bachelor's degree, then stay another 2 to 3 years, get our master's degree, then stay another 3 or 4 years and get our PhD or however long it takes? I don't have one. Obviously, you probably can tell as the numbers get bigger. But as long as you stay in the school, you're not only acquiring debt, you're learning things, but when you put that JLT to work, you don't have no job experience. Why? Because you spent all your life, half of your life, in school. So you come out of school, can't find a job, now you're in debt by the government, and the government's going to garnish your wages until you are able to pay that off. You're not going to get any type of income tax for those who file income tax. But we're saying to our children, well, you need to go get an education. And you know what, people? A lot of people say, well, there's money out there. Oh, yeah, there is money. There's money out there. And you got to go through the prerequisites and all that stuff. That's great. But when it comes down to it, you will not get a free ride to college anymore. So when you go to school, you will come out with debt. Now, whether that debt's $10,000 or $50,000, that's $10,000 negative. You are in the hole. Not on top of you got to have a house or apartment and a car and groceries and insurance. So you see where I'm going with this. So now, as a society, are we pushing towards empowering our youth? Are we showing our youth that the only way to be successful is you got to start from the bottom and work your way up? Okay, because if you got, it's not about what you know, it's who you know, okay? We already know this. It's about what you know. I mean, who you know, not what you know. Because you can go to school and you could be, you know, common laude or whatever it's called, the top 3 students in your class, and if you don't fit a certain criteria or know certain people, you're going to be working at McDonald's or pumping gas. I lived in Oregon. Now, when I lived in Oregon, the University of Oregon is there, and there's a lot of people who go to school. There's several little community colleges around there. A lot of people that go to school. I would say about 40% of those people who go to those schools, graduate looking for a job, are not going to school for what they went to school for. Or trying to find a job what they went to school for. Now, is that because we don't need those things anymore? Listen, we need everything. A couple months ago, President Obama gave a speech about Apple's returning and all these other businesses are returning to America, blah, 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 blah. Okay, first of all, America's a corporation. Obama is just the CEO of this corporation we call America. Okay? Capitalism drives this train. Now, as a student, I was so confused between democracy and capitalism. I had no idea. I mean, we were learning all these different things. yeah, I'm a little slow, but, you know, I graduated. So we know what capitalism is. We know what democracy is. Why aren't we putting democracy first? Because we're not putting democracy first. Because if we were really putting democracy first, then the Bill of Rights, we would be in there. Okay? The preamble, we would be all in there. But we're not. We are driving the capitalism train. So what's driving this train? Money. In order for you to be successful, you need a fancy house with all kinds of little trinkets in it. You need a nice looking car with all kinds of little gadgets in it. You need to be wearing the newest clothes that just came out of Versace and Tommy Hilfiger, which he don't want black people wearing his clothes. You got all these little handbags and these little shoes women buy and the shoes the men buy. And then this is where the kicker is for me. Why is it that when you go to church nowadays, they expect you to be in the finest linens there are in America? Now, everybody has their own ways of looking at stuff, and, you know, this is my perspective. My show, way I look at it. If you want to call in, give your opinion, you're more than welcome to. But right now, I'm giving my opinion. And my opinion on this is you go to church to receive the word of the Lord. You go to church to feel a feeling that you normally don't feel when you're by yourself. Now, we know that the Lord is always with you. But the church is supposed to be a place for fellowship. So if I'm going to church and you've got to wear your Sunday's best and you get ostracized because you don't have a suit on, not that I can't afford a suit, I don't want to wear a suit. Does a suit justify who I am as a child of God? Does the suit make me look presentable to God? So you're saying that my outside flesh that we talk about all the time in the Bible to deny the flesh, we are making it increase and the Lord gets decreased? I just don't get it. Are we talking about money? Are we talking about dollars? Because, listen, dollars, if we stop buying all these suits and we use those dollars to give to the church could actually build some extra stuff. Now, I mean, there's churches that got different financial situations depending on the geographical locations in the cities. Now, not everybody got money. Some churches got a lot of money. Some churches don't have a lot of money. Some churches have 5 members. Some have 300. The point is this. What are we doing as human beings to promote the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness? Because right now, I tell you, people are not happy. People are not happy. But we blame it on Obama. We blame it on President Bush. I don't know. I don't mind putting blame on them. I put blame on us. Because we speak, when I say we, I'm talking about those people who speak about things that they don't know what they're talking about. First of all, because we as Americans are trained parrots, or parakeets. We regurgitate what we hear off the TV or what we read in the newspaper. But we never go and do the investigation. We never go and be like, this just don't sound right. Let's connect the dots. Let's do a little research. Let's look at the origin of where this thing is coming from, who's writing it, who's controlling these different factions who are putting this information out. And everybody know what the word propaganda is, okay? So when the Germans were dropping leaflets around the world saying this and this and this, when the American had radio, in America when we had radio, they would do that propaganda thing about, you know, the Russians and the Cold War and all that stuff. And so for the longest time, we thought Russia was going to come over here and kill us and all this stuff. But, you know, we actually did bomb drills and, you know, hid underneath our desk. We have to do our own research. We need to stop being lazy. Because just because it sounds good does not always mean that it is true. And another thing is we have to stop being emotional about it too. I mean, because that's what media is for, is to get you all riled up. You know, because we go to the movies, we cry, we get scared, we're happy, we laugh. Those are the tricks of the trade that the industry uses our emotions, and that's why the Lord said we must die daily. We must carry our cross daily. Okay, because if we are on this emotional roller coaster, we never really get the full effect of what God is trying to give us. Okay? And when we talk about capitalism, we need to say we're going to be a capitalist society and that's what we are. Or we got to say we are based off of a democracy. And like I said, because we need to blame ourselves, because you said the Constitution said whether we elect the officials and the officials work for us. Well, since when did you ever go to your city council person? Since when did you ever go to your mayor? Since when did you ever go to your senators or your governor? Since when did you go to your representatives? Since when did you go talk to the President of the United States? Usually you've got to set up an appointment to talk to him, okay? Which is okay, because they'll tell you everything that sounds good. We want to fight for this, and we're going to give you this, and then we said we got to hold you accountable for what you said that you was going to give us. That's like what I was saying at the beginning of what I was saying. We tell our children all of these things, and they hold it to us. And when we let them down, they're hurt. So when we have these elected officials who've let us down because we're still fighting for the same three things, we're still fighting for jobs, we're still fighting for equality, and we're still fighting for happiness. And this is America. 13 colonies, America. Okay, it's 2013. We're still fighting for those things, for jobs, for jobs, for equality and happiness. So do you say to yourself, well, I'm happy. Well, yeah, okay, fine, you're happy. You've got life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay. You got a job. You got a good job. You've got equality. At least you feel you do. Well, it's not about you. It's about everyone else. And if you say it's not about everybody else, but it's about your family, then who is everybody else then? Because if everybody else is not including your family and it's just about you, but you feel like you've done it and you've made it, then you saying that it's not about anybody else and your family's not included, then it doesn't make sense. Because when your family steps out of their house, it's about the individual. So if your kids go to school and they're making straight A's and one of your kids is a rock and he or she can't really do things, are you going to say, well, babe, maybe school's not for you, and maybe you should go work? I'm like, no, you're going to do everything you could possibly do in the order to get your child to that level, whatever that level may be. So what do we do as citizens of the United States to get it right? We've got enough blame. Enough blame. We need action. We need action.
And the weapons they are using against you are in your very homes, entertaining you and your children, and gradually indoctrinating you without you even realizing. In today's society, people are spending more and more time engaged with modern media, television, cinema, computer games, the internet, popular fiction and popular music are an integral part of our lives. Yet these provide a vast expanse on information which you are taking either consciously or subconsciously into your mind. Information on society ranging from ideals and morals and the difference between right and wrong to the way societies and economies should be structured is passed before you every single day. These media play a significant role in providing the basis for determining an individual's view of the world and everything that exists. Thus, any one group in complete control of this information placed on these media will in effect have the power to indoctrinate practically the entire populace of the world to their way of thinking. And it is this fact that Freemasons are exploiting. The Masons are using the entertainment industry in particular to condition people to their way of thinking, either openly or subliminally. The methods they use vary, but the goal is the same: to impose their beliefs, their ideology, and their objectives on you in such a way that you begin to think of them as your own.
the origins of psychological warfare were in Nazi Germany. And in the Nazi ideology, they had something that was called Weltanschauungskrieg, which means worldview warfare. The idea for them was imposing the Nazi worldview on the countries that they had occupied. The Americans picked up this idea, created an American version of it, and called that psychological warfare.
Mario, you are not the boss. Never.